Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer back at it again. We got a lot to talk about on today's episode as it seems like Ozzie Trapillo will be starting his NFL career on the left side, at least from what we heard from Ryan Poles today over on Cap and Jay Hood. Got to talk about how that could affect the team moving forward. Also, the Bears had multiple trade-up attempts to try and go get the running back position addressed with Ryan Poles' comments today on Cap and Jay Hood. Does that make things a little bit more interesting? And here Ryan Poles talked about the biggest changes from Matt Eberflus being in the building to now Ben Johnson being up there at Halas Hall. And we got to talk about all that and more on today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast is brought to you by Advantage Dealer Group. Find your next Chevy, Toyota, or Acura and drive off in under 60 minutes. Or they'll make your first car payment. Also brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. Las Vegas style gaming, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field, exit 6, right off I-80-94. Appreciate you guys for taking the time out of your day to rock with us over here on the Chicago Bears podcast, man. Let's get it started. Jump straight into the football talk because I thought that hearing about Ozzie Trapillo, who Bears take him in the second round, you expect him to be a part of the rotation in some way. I think in my mind and probably in most Bears fans' mind, there was an expectation of him getting in the starting lineup. The question, though, came in, who was going to move to the left side? Was it Ozzie Trapillo, who's played his last couple of years at BC? as a right tackle, although his freshman year, he did play left tackle at that position, one of his worst seasons in BC. But does he end up moving to that left side, or do you take Darnell Wright and possibly move him to that left side because he's going to be the highest paid offensive lineman on your line? And when Ryan Poles talked about it today, I love how he said, that's a conversation we've been having with our coaching staff. I think what we want to see is to have the young rookie with Ozzie in terms of what that looks like on the left side at left tackle. We still want to see Braxton Jones returning from his injury as well as Karan. So there's a lot of options, which to me is a huge benefit and a huge improvement for our O-line that you have these options. That's really valuable. And listen, as somebody who has been on Braxton Jones' heels just about the entire time, the last couple of years, right? Like, I do like the depth that you now have at that left tackle position, even if Karan Amagaji is not able to get there, right? We do know that Ozzie Trapillo can play the position. He has played the position. Braxton Jones has played the position at an NFL level. I like the fact that you're trying to increase your depth on that side no matter what, whether it is Darnell Wright or Ozzie. But hearing that they want to start Ozzie on that left side, I think it makes the most sense, and I'll tell you why. When you look at how many pieces are going to be moving around this offensive line, right? How many new faces are going to be there? You don't want to just start changing everything up so that everybody in the building has to figure it out, but you get to cater to the new young rookie. Darnell Wright has been a dominant force on that right side. Now, last year did not look nearly the same as what we've seen out of Darnell Wright, and I think most people, Wright would say that he had a little bit of an up and down season, but that he hit a groove at a certain point kind of later on in that season. But to me, right, it was Darnell Wright working with a different kind of quarterback in Caleb Williams. It also was the fact that the other four people on the offensive line were usually spending a ton of time laying on their backs. Now you've got that, those changes coming in, him and Jonah Jackson being together, I think is going to be a road grading run game on that right side. The big question is, right, the left side. But do you don't want to start moving a ton of pieces around. I do know that Darnell Wright was a question. It was one we asked here. You know, is he somebody you move because of the contract? I just don't think we live in a day and age where it's a wild idea to pay your right tackle the most amount of money. Right? Like, I think the Lions do that. If I'm not mistaken, the Vikings do that as well. Like, it's not this weird world right now that we're living in where it's like a right tackle is making the bag, right? Like a tackle is a tackle. Tackle prices are tackle prices. It's not right tackle price and left tackle price, right? So for me, the whole Darnell Wright moving to left, it was an interesting concept, basically just to see if you're going to make the rookie's life easier. But does that make your right side worse? I like the fact that we're going to start Ozzie off on the left side and try and get him to figure some things out. And listen, the big part right now is Ozzie's floor Braxton Jones' ceiling? That's the big question on the table. is Ozzie Trapillo's floor. I said Ozzie Jones. Who the heck is Ozzie Jones? That sounds like a heck of a baseball player, if I'm being honest. Is Ozzie Trapillo's floor Braxton Jones's ceiling? Because if it is, now you're in this great situation where you've got a young player who's on a rookie contract, who's starting to figure some things out, who's going to go through training camp and going to be able to compete to win this job. Can he win it over Karan? Right now, I think that's where your competition lies, and Karan is going to get more of the reps there early on. But the fact that you've got your second round pick here at the, that's later on in this draft, and Ryan Poles praised his tape. And I love how he said it, right? And it is kind of how you feel. They asked him, what was it about him, about Ozzie that stood out to you? He's like, listen, after a while, his tape gets kind of boring because he's doing the same thing over and over and over again. He's a young man who can go out there and just, he does his job well. You know what I mean? And he is that guy that you don't call his name out. That is the goal of an offensive lineman. Don't be the guy who's getting your name called out on national television, because they never call your name out when you're doing your job. They only call your name out when it's false starts. They only call your name out when it's holding. They only call your name out when it's offsides. Those are the only times that you're going to hear a ton of offensive line names, unless, right, usually once a game, if you're dominating your matchup at the end of the game, they'll go, look at this matchup here. Jared Verse trying to get past Ozzie Trapillo. I'm speaking it into existence. And they just can't find a way. Look at the spin move here. Can't get around Trapillo. Love the body on this guy. Phenomenal game, right? Like, we always hear that usually at one point in the game, if the O-lineman is dominating at that level and just keeping somebody from being impactful. But even then, usually they lump in the entire offensive line together. So for me, right, the big question on, you know, who's going to be the starter, I don't care. Win the job. You know what I mean? I think that Ozzie is a great piece, and I love how Ryan Poles talked about not only just him, but the offensive line as a whole, right? If you go out there and Ozzie's able to win this job, you've got your best five. Ryan Poles said, we want to find our best five in camp and stick with it. That has been one of the biggest issues this Bears team has had over the past few years. The offensive line combinations have been massive, but now you're talking about your depth possibly being Ozzie Trapillo or Braxton Jones, either one, right? Because Braxton may come back off of that injury and say, oh, you're not taking my job, young buck. Like, let me get in here and show you how to truly play left tackle. I've been doing this for 4 years now. Which I don't know if that's going to happen. I think if there is a cohesive unit working there, right, you may not go back to a very similar to what Jonah Jackson ended up having to deal with when he was out in LA, right? The young right guard comes in, he's playing the game extremely well, and now there's not a spot for Jonah Jackson. They try him at center, it didn't work, right? If Trapillo wins the job out of camp and is able to be dominant out there, I think that that is the combination you're going to see. But that doesn't mean get rid of Braxton Jones. Listen, you've got a young piece on your team who has started at left tackle for 3 seasons and has started well enough that there are people out there that would tell you that he's a top 5 left tackle in the NFL, right? I don't subscribe to that level of thinking. I think that Braxton Jones in the pass game is a struggle. I think in the run game, you get him out in space and tell him lay some people out, he could do some really good things for you. But at the end of it, right, the big part of all of the depth conversation is that Braxton Jones is a starter that you now have the opportunity to move to depth. Right? Like, that is a great position for you to be in instead of what we saw last season, right? Where it was Ryan Bates, who was depth, who you were praying to the heavens was going to be able to step in and be a starter. Now you're talking about this Bears offensive line depth having real meaning. And I love the sound of that. I think that that's going to be very impactful for the Bears moving forward. Let me know how you guys feel down in the comments below, man. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, lead a 5-star view. Y'all know what to do. Do you think that Ozzie Trapillo starting on the left side is going to be the right move for the Chicago Bears overall? Do you think that he wins this job out of camp? Are you that out on Braxton Jones, or do you think there's going to be some pushback here? And even in a situation where Trapillo is your backup, right, everybody's gonna be like, oh my god, I can't believe you drafted a backup at left tackle. If you got 5 dudes that are blocking for Caleb Williams, we won't care. I just won't. If I got 5 dudes standing in front and the left dude is Braxton and he's doing a great job in pass pro because he's learned something from Trapillo, he's learned something from Dan Rashard, he's learned something from the new staff that has come in place that all of a sudden has unlocked his future here, I don't care. Protect this young man. And if Ozzie Trapillo is truly that dude, you can trade Ozzie Trapillo in that situation. Protect your quarterback. 68 sacks last season. And I'm not going to say none of them are on Caleb Williams. I think PFF gave 19 of them to Caleb Williams. That's still a lot of sacks. Cut that number down in a Pat Mahomes way, right? Pat Mahomes usually averages about 30, 32 sacks a year. 28, right? 28, 30, 32, somewhere in that range. That's a much better place to be in than where we were at with 68. 68 is insane. But, hey, listen, I'll take 12 sacks. Let's not do it. But the kind of quarterback that Caleb Williams is, some sacks are going to come. It just is what it is. There's no way around it. There's no storyline around it. Some sacks are just going to come because there's going to be times where he's trying to extend a play, trying to get out in space. Play doesn't end up being there. He gets wrapped up by the ankles, right? There's nothing the O-line can do about that. But let's cut down on the ones where it's basically just five offensive linemen falling over and everybody just going, well, I guess we'll kill Caleb now. Like, those are the ones to me that you really need to improve on. Let me know how you guys feel in the comments below, man. Like I said, I'll be down there talking with you guys as well. Let's talk about this, though, because the running back conversation has been a very, very big one. After a couple of days ago, right, we hear the conversation around Nick Chubb from, I'm trying to remember, Ken. I can't remember his last name. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the name. On 92.3 The Fan, I do remember the radio station, where essentially what he said was that, you know, he's hearing that the Chicago Bears, or I'm sorry, not the Chicago Bears, that Nick Chubb is planning on leaving the Cleveland Browns and is probably signing with the team in the NFC North. When you look at the rest of the NFC North, doesn't seem like there's a lot of people that are going to be signing there. But now the conversation almost makes a little bit more sense here, where not only are you in a situation where you're trying to sign the running back, but it comes off of the comments being made now by Dan Wiederer and the reporting by Dan Wiederer that the Bears multiple times tried to trade up to go get an answer to the running back position. And listen, it's almost like at this point, you have to just believe that while, yes, they are going to deal with DeAndre Swift for this season, they are wanting to go after DeAndre Swift for this season. But what Dan Wiederer said on Friday evening, fingers in Hallis Hall draft room remained crossed that a swing at landing a playmaking running back would connect. Poles pressed the gas and made aggressive attempts to trade up Henderson for Travion Henderson. Henderson's blend of speed and vision, plus his tenacity and pass protection and skill as a pass catcher, were alluring to the Bears, and he had significant interest. Also written in there that they were also trying to trade up for Ashton Jeanty early on, but the price was just a little bit too much in that situation. Look, This is the bottom line of it, right? The Bears want to upgrade at the running back position. Don't know if you got that in Kyle Manunga. I do think that you got yourself a heck of a player. I think you got one of the best running backs in the Big Ten. I'm not going to sit here, though, and say that, you know, it's a given that Kyle Manunga is going to be a dominant piece on this team. I do think that there is going to be some growth. He's got to take roles from guys who are already here. DeAndre Swift, Roschon Johnson, Ian Wheeler already on this roster, right? But when you hear that and then pair it up with the comments made today, where Ryan Poles talked about the running back room and he said it's a good room, he's excited about Eric Bieniemy, and then goes on to mention the backs in the room that he feels, right, good about, right? Talks about first person, I think the first person he mentioned was Roschon Johnson. Talked about how he felt like he was misused last season and how he's going to be utilized a heck of a lot more this year as a physical runner in a much more physical role up the middle. Then talked about Ian Wheeler. Then he talked about Kyle Manungai. But at no point did he mention the name DeAndre Swift. And listen, it could just be coincidence. It could literally be DeAndre Swift's the starter, so it doesn't matter. Like, I'm not mentioning DeAndre Swift. I'm not mentioning the starter. I'm mentioning everybody else who makes up the room because we know DeAndre Swift is a starter. I'm not saying that that is not a possibility. But when you pair it up with the fact that, number one, Ben Johnson has already been a part of trading DeAndre Swift, I do wonder about, you know, if all of a sudden all of that is magically fixed and we can tell ourselves all the things that we want. But he was there. Oh, well, he had no say in it. You think if Ben Johnson didn't want to keep him, they wouldn't have kept him, right? Like, so that's one conversation that I think is incredibly interesting to take into account with this. But now, when you hear from Dan Wiederer that the Bears were making multiple attempts to trade up, not only to try and get Ashton Jeanty early on, and we had heard that as well, right? The Bears were trying to move into that range for a playmaker, but also trying to go up to get Travion Henderson, who, listen, is a speed back type, who's great in outside zone, who is better in pass blocking, who can receive out of the backfield. Now, I'm not sitting here telling you that it automatically gets DeAndre Swift off the roster, because at $8 million, there's no point in cutting him at this point. You're not really saving any money. But clearly, they're trying to upgrade that position in that room. And so I did think that this was a very interesting conversation on the running backs, on trading up and trying to, you know, acquire a guy like Travion Henderson, who does, if we're being honest, a lot of the same things that Kyle Manungai does. He just did it in a split backfield, which is incredibly impressive, where Kyle Manungai got his numbers, I believe, in 247 rushing attempts. You're talking about almost 100 less for Travion Henderson with the numbers that he was able to put up and how he was able to block out of the backfield. Listen, we know that that's something that Ryan Poles and that Ben Johnson are going to value. It's why I feel that Kyle Manungai has a real chance to make this roster, why I feel that he's going to be one of the pieces by the end of this entire conversation. Maybe he's not swapping out for DeAndre Swift, because I think they play in very different roles, but could you talk about him taking over Roschon Johnson's role? I think that you could. I think that you, because listen, at the end of the day, the concussion conversation is where Roschon Johnson begins and ends. We've had the same conversation on Tevin Jenkins. We've had the same conversation on Jaquan Brisker coming into this season, where, listen, if you're going to miss time, I know that I can't rely on you to be out there in this moment. But when we look at Tevin Jenkins, when we look at Jaquan Brisker, you're talking about guys that have great seasons to their name. You're talking about guys that have great impact to their name. Unfortunately, throughout this process right now, Roschon Johnson cannot say that. Last season, he played in 14 games, spent a few games concussed as well, started none of them. He had 150 rushing yards. He did have 6 touchdowns, which makes sense. He's a goal line back. Be on the goal line. I thought you needed to utilize him more last season. The problem is, when I'm sitting there and I want to utilize you, and I have to be careful with you running you up the gap, because that's where most of the contact is going to be, it makes it difficult to put you back out there. I love the touchdown conversation, because I think that is where Roschon Johnson fits in the most. If he can keep the concussions down, I think that he is a piece that up the gut can be dangerous for the Chicago Bears team. And I do think that he complements DeAndre Swift's game style really, really well. Now, is Swift going to be able to get the most out of that? That is what is yet to be seen. But right now, for me, if you're talking about going into a season confident in your running back room, hearing that the Bears were trying to trade up to go get a playmaker, hearing that, you know, that there's possibility of going out and getting Nick Chubb here in Chicago, or maybe J.K. Dobbins, you know, is there a Breece Hall trade in the works? I don't think that situation is one that's going to end up coming to fruition. But hearing all of that and then going, yeah, the Bears are great with the running back room, it doesn't connect. This isn't me trying to push a narrative. This isn't me trying to push, oh, well, I think you need to upgrade the position. The Bears think they need to upgrade the position, as shown by them trying to trade up, as shown by them looking outside. Because I'll say this as well. If you go out and you get Nick Chubb, and Nick Chubb proves that not only is he healthy, but he's 80% of the Nick Chubb that he was, guess who your number one running back is? Without question. If the Bears go out and sign Nick Chubb, he is your number one running back without question. Now, maybe coming into camp, maybe he won't be. Maybe as you get into the season, he won't be. I'm sorry, get into preseason, he won't be. But I'll tell you what, if he looks like he's looking in these workout videos, if he looks like anything near old Nick Chubb, behind a better offensive line, might I add you, here in Chicago, which could allow him to look like old Nick Chubb if the Bears were to bring him in. I think that job is up for grabs. I think it's up for grabs for people on the roster. I think it's up for grabs for people that could be on the roster. I think the Bears are looking to upgrade that position, and they're showing it by their actions. And that, to me, is the part where I look at this team in that running back room and say, okay, this is where we're going to see one of the more fierce competitions. I think left tackle, where we just talked about Ozzie Trapillo as possibly being the starter there, I think that's where we're going to see one of the big ones. And on that left side to me, I'm sorry, in that running back room to me, I think that job is absolutely wide open. And I think that DeAndre Swift is not guaranteed to be the number one back just because he makes $8 million on this team. Let me know how you guys feel in the comments below, man. To finish it out, I do want to talk about this because Ryan Poles also said this about the Chicago Bears, just the vibe in the building, right? Just the vibe around Halas Hall right now and how it's different from Matt Eberflus to who is now in the building in Ben Johnson. Now listen, everything looks great until you get on the field. But what Ryan Poles said, I thought was incredibly telling. And you can feel it from just about every one of the coaches if you're ever up at Halas. He said, now we're not going to be a reactive team. Now we're going to go out there and be proactive in how we approach the game. Even going as far as to say the Bears are going to be an aggressive mindset team. If you've been following this podcast for a while, you know when I talked about Matt Eberflus, if you listen to me on ESPN 1000 when we were doing the post game show, you know when I talked about Matt Eberflus, my theme with him was not only the fact that he lost in some amazing ways, he was literally a generational loser on the football field. Like he lost in ways that the NFL was like, we didn't know you could do this. I didn't think this was a possibility. I've never seen somebody lose a game in this way. He lost games in amazing fashion where you had to sit back in your chair and say, you know what? That's actually impressive to see how badly you lost that game. And it felt like that on a consistent basis because to me, Matt Eberflus thought good enough was good enough, and it never was good enough. Matt Eberflus felt like we put up 27 in the first half, we can put up 6 in the second half, and we'll win this game on the strength of our defense. That's not the right mindset. That should never be your mindset in the NFL. Pack it in at halftime should never be the thought process in the NFL. And unfortunately, for Matt Eberflus, it seemed like it was the thought process 24-7 every single game that you went into. And that could just be the difference in having a defensive coordinator and an offensive coordinator. But I love how the players are talking under Ben Johnson. It's not just about, yes, they've said, we want to hit the ground running. We want to win games right away. This is not a 2 to 3 year process. But it's the fact that Tremaine Edmonds is coming out and saying, hey, we don't want to just win games. We want to be dominant. It's the fact that when we had Roma Dunze on the pod, he talked about it's not just about scoring, it's about continuing to score and never taking your foot off of your opponent's throat. That should be the mindset in football 24-7. And usually for the winning teams, it is. Yes, there are moments where you pack it in, right, where you sit back and you say, okay, we don't need to go crazy here. Maybe we go into a little bit of a shell defense. Usually those moments are when you're up by 30. Right? And then a team starts to come back. The numbers start to look a little bit better, starts to look respectable. You get to the end of the game, you win the game. Nobody cares. And every time you go into the post-game press or whatever and you say, I gave up a lot of points there at the end. What was the thought process there? We just wanted to make sure that we got out of this game healthy. That was our focus at that point. Boom. Love that. But get to that point in the fourth quarter when you're up by 30. I love the mentality that Ben Johnson is putting on display here. And yes, it's going to come with, you know, does this happen with wins or not, or was this just a bunch of lip service? But being the aggressive team for the Chicago Bears only makes sense on both sides of the football. You've got guys on this team in TJ Edwards and Montez Sweat who, if you are aggressive and you blitz, can get to the quarterback. They showed you that last season, except when Matt Eberflus basically was like, we're going to get pressure with our front four. Yeah, but you never were able to get pressure with your front four. I think on the offensive side as well, right? Very vanilla, very, like, I love the Caleb Williams record of not throwing interceptions, but a lot of that record, I'm not going to say a lot of it, as a portion of that record, I'll say, right, is Caleb Williams literally just avoiding taking chances. Said Hutt, look at that. That's a double coverage. I can't throw that football in there. We're going to just throw this down the field to almost where nobody can get it. Which, listen, I think that there's a place, a time and place for that. But the reason that Caleb Williams was drafted was because he has the ability to see double coverage, know how to diagnose it, fire the football in there, and then we're sitting there at the end of it going, I can't believe he just made that throw. That got into the hands of Roma Dunze, like we saw in the second part of the season after Thomas Brown took over, or the third act of the season. I don't even know where you're at with that part of the season. Once we saw that, then it was like, oh, okay, so he's firing it in there. He's taking chances. Yes, there are some interceptions that are going to come with that. But he's learning how to be aggressive and take his chances and when to take his chances. My favorite part of last season is early on in the year versus Houston, he throws a pass up there to Cole Kmet that's just underthrown. Not a bad pass. Cole has all of upfield if he catches that football. Caleb underthrew the ball, didn't have enough touch on it. Rookie mistake, interception, seals the game. Dang it, we lost. Later on in the season, we see that same exact throw to Roma Dunze, same way, rolling out, getting away from pressure, flips it up there. Roma Dunze makes one of the best two-footed catches inbounds that you'll see all season long. And it's because Caleb Williams put it in a spot where only he can get it. In the first situation of it, you didn't put it in a spot where only Cole Kmet can get it. If you put it in a spot where only Cole Kmet can go get it, he probably goes and gets it, and that's a completed pass where literally, if he turns around, he may be able to run in for a touchdown. Now, there was a lot of speed on the field at that point, so I don't know if that's going to be the case for the touchdown part of it. But, like, there were so many of those moments early in the year where it was like, take the chance, do it, be aggressive, I like it. And then they just went away. Because Flus is a passive-minded head coach. The defense will get us through this game. I love the fact that Caleb Williams is going to be dealing with a head coach that's going to say, oh, is your foot on the pedal? Okay, push it to the floor. That's the best case scenario for the Chicago Bears and all of this. And it's one thing that I loved hearing out of Matt Eberflus, or I'm sorry, out of Ryan Poles' press conference today. Not press conference, out of Ryan Poles' interview with Cap and Jay Hood. I thought that it was phenomenal. I thought we heard some great things from him. Didn't put himself in any trouble. And talked a lot of, and had a phenomenal interview just about kind of the state of the Bears and where they're at. I mean, we'll probably talk more on this tomorrow with Courtney. Courtney's going to be on the episode with us tomorrow. But, I mean, just some good things to hear from Ryan Poles. Make sure that you tap in with the full interview, man. But, hey, as always, it's your boy Pat the Designer back at it again. I love you guys, man. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. Feels like we might be getting this thing right, man. And I hope that that stays that way. Peace.